Recording. And we're holding on page 42 in Psachim, the last paragraph, Shom Amar Bishoven Levi, middle of Ois Memhe. We started talking yesterday about the dinim of Kiddush and Havdalah, which are extensively discussed in this parak. And one thing that the Gemara was dealing a lot with is how many expressions of Havdalah do you say in the Bracha HaMakil? So we learned yesterday that Benon Shok Doshim, which we said was a Menachem Bar Simoi, would say only one, but Noah Gro'olim to say three. So now the Gemara continues. Amar B'Sherman Levi, Hamavdil Tzorach Shiyem HaMein Havdalah HaMoris Batorah. When a person is saying this bracha hamavdil, he has to say along the lines of the havdolos that are mentioned in the Torah. And by Torah over here, we mean Tanakh in general. Some of the psukim we're going to bring are from Tanakh, but in other words, he can't just make up his own ideas of what distinctions there are in the world. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. Seder havdolos heyach omer. What is the seder? A seder havdolos heyach. What is the order of the bracha of havdolah? Omer hamavdol ben kodesh alchol ben ol lachoshech ben yisrael laamim ben yem hashvi l'sheshesim ha'maisa, which all those are the ones we say. But then we continue ben tomei l'tahor, that Hashem distinguishes between tomei and tahor, ben ayom l'charova, between sea and dry land, ben ma'im ha'oyonim la'ma'im ha'tachtonim, between the upper and the lower waters, and ben kohenim la'levim v'yisraelim, and Hashem distinguishes between among kohenim la'levim v'yisraelim, v'chosim b'seder bereshis. He finishes off with the bracha, baruch seder bereshis, that is, blessed is Hashem, who arranges creation. Others say that you end with Yotze Bereshis, and Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda Omer Chosim Mekadesh Yisrael. And Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda says a third one that you finish off Mekadesh Yisrael. Further on after the piece over here that's in Ein Yaakov, the Gemara discusses that the Gemara discusses the pros and cons of these various nuschos, and the fact is you have a different Mishnah in Chulin of all places that mentions that the bracha that you say at the end of it, at the end of Shabbos going into a Yom Tov like we have this year, is Hamavdim and Kodesh Lakodesh, implying that otherwise Hamavdim and Kodesh Lachol, and of course that's what we do. Anyway, the point is the Im Issa. Now, if you're telling me all the havdolos you have to say have to be mentioned someplace in a pasuk, ben hayom lacharova like sivavei havdolah. Yes, it says that Hashem put the water into the sea and created dry land, but it never uses the word that Hashem separated them. So then, it's not one of the seder havdolos. It's in the pasuk. So like sivavei havdolah, it never says the word havdolah in connection with that. The Gemara says, okay, simimikan ben hayom lacharova. Okay, you have to delete from the brisa the words ben hayom lacharova. They don't belong in there. The question is, ben nami. Then you should have to also delete ben again, when it talks about that Hashem distinguished Shabbos, but it never uses the word havdolah in connection with it. And the answer is, that's different. The answer is, that's not there. That's there. Like we talked about yesterday, you have to have ne'en chasima, samuch l'chasima. You have to have before the end bracha, before the baruch atah Hashem, you have to have something of the theme of it. So putting in ben yom hashvi, the sheshes yemei ha'maaseh fulfills that. Well, the Gemara asks, in that case, botzer chodesh v'lak hasheva. In that case, then you're missing one, so you don't have seven. And previously the Gemara had explained that according to this braisa, you have seven of them. Earlier on the Omer, the Gemara had explained the minimum you should do is three, the maximum is seven, and then the Gemara brought over here this braisa to illustrate seven. But so far it sounds like we only have six. Ben Kodesh Lachol, Ben Ur Lachoshach, Ben Yisrael La'amim, that's three, Ben Yem Hashvi L'Sheshes Yemei Ha'maaseh, we're skipping because that's not mentioned in the pasuk. Ben Tomei L'Tahor is four, Ben Hayom L'Charova we're deleting. Ben Maim Olyon and Maim Dachtonim is five. Ben Konim Levim Yisraelim is six. So you still don't have seven. So V'lech HaShevah, so you don't have six. You don't have seven. Amri, so the answer is, Konim Levim Yisraelim Trei Mili Ninim. When we say Hashem distinguished between Konim Levim Yisraelim, we actually mean there are two distinctions being made there. One between Konim and Levim, and the other one between Levim and Yisraelim. Ben Levim Yisraelim, we have a pasuk that uses the word Havdalah in connection with that. At that time, after the Chet Egel, particularly, Hashem separated out Shevet Levi, that they would be the ones who specifically served him. Ben a kohenim levim, and then you have a pasuk regarding the kohenim distinguished from the levim. Yichtiv and divra yomim, when it gives the family tree of the levim, it says bnei amram aaron umosha by bodo aaron, and aaron was separated out like visha kodesh kadoshim to make him and his descendants be kodesh kadoshim among all the other levim. So we see that there is a distinction between kohenim and levim, and another one between levim and Yisraelim, and therefore you have seven. Tosfos, by the way, points out over here, it's printed in the Gemara, an interesting point. Now, throughout the year, we only say three of them. We only say they're the first three until Ben Yisrael Amim, and then again, Ben Yom Ashri, the Shesh Zman Maisa, is there in order to have Ne'in Chasimah, Somoch Lachasimah. But Tosfos brings that Rabbi Natan was asked by one of the other Balei HaTosfos, how come in Vatodienu, that we say on Motzei Shabbos when it's going into Yom Tov, we have so much more, and for that matter, in the Bracha of Abdullah, that we say also as part of Yat Nehaz, it's so much more elaborate. The Kedushas Shabbos, the Kedushas Yom Tov of Dalta, the Yom Ashvi, Meshesh's Ma'am Ma'isa Kidashta, etc. So why? And Rabbi Natan answered, that's in keeping with this. Given that the Gemara is saying over here, the maximum you can say is seven, so we want to have at least sometimes, because of the Chavivos of Yom Tov, we want to have that we add extra statements, and therefore, so it's not exactly as it is in the Braisa over here, because we're not making the same distinctions that the Braisa says, but nevertheless, if you count it up, you have seven altogether. Because you have Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Or L'Choshech, Ben Yisrael L'Amim, then you have Ben Kedushas Shabbos, the Kedushas Yom Tov of Dalta, which is that there's a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, where Yom Tov you can do Malachas Ochel Nefesh, and Yom Tov you can. Tosfos says, refers to the fact that you have a distinction between Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, where there's more Malachas that you can do on Chol HaMoed that you can't do on Yom Tov. So therefore, that's another Havdalah. And when we finish off, Hivdalta, the Kidashtas, Amcha Yisrael, B'Kishasecha, that refers to the two Havdalahs that we're saying over here, between Kohenim and Levim, and between Levim and Yisraelim, and therefore you wind up with seven. So therefore, so symbolically, we do that. So it's not all, they're not all mentioned in the Pesukim. There's no Pesuk, for example, that says the word Havdalah between Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, but nevertheless, we still have seven expressions of Havdalah over there, corresponding to the seven in the Braisa over here. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about dinim of what you're allowed and not allowed to do before Havdalah. So the Gemara talks about this. So previously, the Gemara talks about that you're not allowed to drink anything before Havdalah. It's before the feast over here in Ein Yaakov, it mentions that Avuna one time saw a guy drinking water before Havdalah and told him off for it. Because Tanu Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, we learn in a Braisa in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Kola Toyim Klum Kodim Shiyavdil, anybody who tastes anything before he makes Havdalah, Misosei Ba'askara, he will die of Askara. Askara is a disease mentioned throughout Shas that it causes the person's throat to close up. In various places we find that it starts out in the mouth or in the throat and it winds up affecting the stomach too. It's often translated as diphtheria, but there's various other possibilities. Whatever it was a very feared disease at that time. And therefore, by saying that a person is going to get Askara from it, it would scare a person off from doing that. Why Dafka Askara? So Tosfos explains he's enjoying something with his throat. Therefore, he deserves to have a disease that affects his throat. In fact, Tosfos says Askara is what we have nowadays in place of Chenek. The Gemara tells us in Ksubas and some other places that a person is Chayiv Misa nowadays. There's no Misa Space Din, but Hashem arranges it for him to die in a way that's similar to the Misa Space Din, and one of the ones parallel in Chenek is Askara. That's Tosfos. Marsha asks, I mean, you have lots of things that a person could eat or drink that he's not allowed to. What about all the macholos asuris? We never find a person eats macholos asuris. He's punishable with askura specifically. So rather, Marsha says like this. Askura is, the Gemara tells us in Tainis that askura is particularly prone to strike children on Wednesday. And for that reason, the Anshei Maimed, they would fast the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of their week of Maimed, and each day they would be davening for a different thing on behalf of the Jewish people. On Wednesday, particularly, they would be fasting that Askara shouldn't strike children. Why daft on Wednesday? Because what happened on Wednesday, the Eved should put the luminaries in the sky, the sun and the moon and the stars, and on them it says, Yehi Ma'oiros, the Kiyah Shemaim. The word Ma'oiros is written Choser without the Vav, so we can read it Me'eros, which means curses or plagues, which refers particularly to this fearsome disease of Askara. and children are particularly prone to it. So therefore, so there's an association, Marshall says, there's an association between the light and Astra. Motzei Shabbos, we make a bracha on the candle, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that's when Adam Rishon first discovered fire. So therefore, so it's inappropriate for a person to be drinking before he makes that bracha on the candle as part of Abdallah. And therefore, if he does, then Astra, so in other words, because he's ignoring that fire that he should be making the bracha on first thing by Abdallah, then therefore he winds up with the other aspect of Ma'oros, namely the Ma'oros of Astra. Ian Yaakov points out another point as well. What happened that first Motzei Shabbos? The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Adam Rishon was very nervous. He sees it getting dark from the Chetei Tadas, and well, first of all, he's created Erev Shabbos, and that Shabbos, the light, the Ur Sheshes and the Ur Shivas and Ebereshes still shone. Only Motzei Shabbos it set, and all of a sudden the world was plunged into darkness. And Adam thought, maybe this is a result of the Chetei Egel, and maybe the whole world is going to cease to exist. And he was fasting the whole night until the morning dawn, and then he realized this is the natural way of the world. So he was fasting all that night. So now this person goes and drinks before Havdalah. He doesn't care about that sire that Adam had at that time. Then therefore he deserves, Adam thought that he's going to get Misa right on the spot. This guy deserves to have that happen to him as well, says the Yun Yaakov. However, the Gemara says, Rabbonin, the Beit Rav Ashi, like Kafti Amaya, the Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi were not particular about water. They held you're not allowed to eat or drink other things before Havdalah. It is true, but water is an exception. There's a parenthetical note over here in Rashi. Actually, by the way, in this Perek Arif Sochim, there's relatively little Rashi printed in the Gemara. It seems what we have in the Gemara, Rashi's Pirush on this Perek, is maybe only his first draft or something, and it's very brief, and there's a lot of things he doesn't explain. So you have also in the Perek, you have Rashbam, who expands on things a lot and often points out the halachas that come from it. So this piece is from the Rashbam for one thing, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything before Kiddush as well, once Shabbos begins, and there that applies to even water. Second of all, also we learn from this that if a person was eating a Suda, a person was eating Shalosh Urdis, for example, and it came time for Havdalah, then he's able to finish his meal and only then make Havdalah. He doesn't have to break off because it's time for Havdalah. With that said, there are poskim that talk about, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about, that maybe that would only apply if it was a meal of bread, not necessarily if a person was eating mezonos or fruit or what have you. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos says they held, sure, it says in the Brayis of Kol HaTorim Kulam Misaseh Ba'Astura, but they understood that that doesn't include water. Okay. Further on, it talks about that the Mishnah had said, Samuch L'mincha Lo Yechal Adam Anshatech Shachvachola, that, we talked about this in Halacha yesterday, actually, that shortly before Mincha, meaning from 9 hours into the day on Erev Pesach, a person shouldn't be eating until it gets dark, so he'll have an appetite for the matzah at the Seder. So the Gemara discusses the details of that. One thing it mentions is you are allowed to eat a snack. The Gemara mentions you're allowed to eat Mine Taugima, which there's various understandings among the Rishonim what exactly Mine Taugima is, but the point is it's something that's not going to fill them up too much. So then the Gemara mentions Reb Yitzchak Metabol B'Yarki, Reb Yitzchak on Erev Pesach, after this time, after 9 hours, would dip vegetables. Dipping that was the standard way of eating in those times, was they dipped everything into some kind of sauce or condiment or whatever. But vegetables, the point is, those wouldn't ruin his appetite. In fact, elsewhere, Tosfos talks about that there's a difference between raw and cooked vegetables. Cooked vegetables fill you up, but raw vegetables stimulate your appetite. So Adarabah, this would help stimulate his appetite so that he would eat matzah v'tayama. So Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Hashamash Metabol Bivnei Me'ayim, the Shamash, the waiter who's going to serve people by the meal, he is allowed to dip some of the Bnei Me'ayim, he's allowed to dip to take some of the kishkas of the animal, of meat that he's going to be serving, and again, dip them in a condiment or something, and eat them late in the afternoon, Erev Pesach. And later on he's going to be serving the rest of the kishkis and the rest of the meat to the guests. So Rashi makes the point because it's normal that Shamash is usually given some of the food that he's going to be serving. The Gemara mentions in Ksubas, you should do that. It's a Rachmanis on him because otherwise if he's serving the food and he can't eat anything from it, then he's going to have a tremendous taiva for it and it can harm his health. So therefore, you have to allow him to eat some of it. So now he can even do that. Because since he's busy preparing and serving the food, if he's not able to eat from it then he's going to have tzar. And again, he's not eating so much that it'll ruin his appetite for the Seder, so therefore he's allowed. There's an interesting thing, by the way, that Robert Shaver says on this. We could even be talking about, he says, the name of the actual Korban Pesach. Now, on the face of it, you can't eat the Korban Pesach until it gets dark. What would he be doing eating from it at a Pesach afternoon? The Robert Shaver learns, essentially, that since those are not a part of the animal that are normally eaten anyway, the Gemara elsewhere has an expression that a person eats B'nei Me'ayim are not real meat. And a person who eats them is oismench. So therefore, since he's doing it now in order to help him prepare for and in order to be able to serve the Korban Pesach meat properly by night, then therefore we would give him a heter to eat these parts, which anyway are not normally eaten, and he'd be allowed to eat them at a Pesach even. Even though the rest of the Korban Pesach can only be eaten after it's dark. Even though there's not a solid proof for this from a pasuk, there's a hint, there's a remembrance of it, there's a hint to it in a pasuk. Shenema, the pasuk says, Niru lochem nir, plow for yourself a plowing, but al tizru'u al koitzim, don't plant where there are thorns. The simple meaning of the pasuk in context, the Navi is telling the people, and Abona brings this basically from the Radak over there, that the point is the Navi is telling them, look, you can't be tovel v'sheretz v'yadai. If you expect there to be planted anything good in your own personal field of your neshama, make sure you got to clear out the thorns of your midas rose first, otherwise, and then it's worth it plowing and planting and so forth, otherwise all the effort is wasted. What's the relevance of it here? Rashi says it means when you're working on something, make sure you do it in such a way you're going to have hana from it. So this poor shamash over here who's busy preparing and serving the meal, if you don't allow him to have hana from the b'nei me'ayim, it's going to give him tsar. Therefore we have a hint in the positive that you have to allow him to be able to eat from it and enjoy it. The Rashbam says another way of understanding it, which is, when you plow, then the planting afterwards is going to be much more effective. Therefore, the same way, by eating a snack, for example, these b'nei me'ayim or yerokos or whatever the Gemara had mentioned, minei taudima or whatever, it'll stimulate your appetite all the more to eat matzah. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation over here because here you're talking about eating in order to be able to eat more later. So why are we comparing it to plowing and planting, which are two different activities? Rather, Tosfos says that again, the context of the pasuk is you have to get rid of your avodah zarah and your whatever, and then you'll be able to do tshuva. Otherwise, the thorns there are going to prevent you from doing tshuva. So the same way we're saying, when a person has eaten, then he'll feel more of an appetite. If he doesn't eat at all, so there's the same way as metaphorically, the Navi is saying to the people, if you give up on Hashem altogether, and you say, we're never getting rid of our getchbiz, we're never anything, then you're gonna have no chance of doing tshuva that way. The same way, if a person thinks to himself, you know what, I'm not gonna be eating for hours yet, then that itself curbs his appetite. As opposed to if he eats something and he has it in his head that my stomach is open to eat. So now he's not eating very much, but that stimulates his appetite all the more. Therefore, that can be compared to plowing and to removing the thorns and plowing in order to plant and get a more bountiful harvest. So in any case, the point is, so however you learn it exactly, the point is that the point is that this eating before the Seder is helpful, especially for the Shamash, or according to Tosfos, we're saying more generally it helps for anything. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about some of the dinim of the Dalad Kosis, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Dalad Kosis Halalu, Sorech Shehei Behen Kedem Mezigas Kos Yofim Fola. You have to have in the Dalad Kosis enough to be able to mix a nice cut. Namely, in many places in Shas, we go according to the assumption that wine is to be mixed with three parts water and then it's drinkable, whether it's because it was syrupy or because it was high alcohol content, whatever it was exactly. So here also you have to have enough wine that when you mix them, then you'll have kos yofim. So the Gemara discusses that. It makes it sound as though you need only like 1/16 of a revius for each cup. And then when you blend it with the three parts of water, you have a quarter of a revius for each cup. And by combining the four cups together, you have one whole revius across the four cups. And that doesn't seem right. And the Gemara ends up saying, Mayim kedem zigas kosiyot etakama v'chochad v'chad. It means that each individual cup, each one of the dalim kosis, you have to have enough to be able to mix a nice cup to have a little cooler revius, meaning, in other words, each individual cup is a revius. So you start out with a revius of raw wine, you pour a quarter of that revius into each one of the four cups, and then you mix it with three quarters of a revius of water, and there you have one revius per cup, and the total amount, so the total amount of raw wine you used is one revius, the total amount you drank across the four cups is four revius, the way it's supposed to be. It's still considered kosyapa, and that's the point, because kosyapa means a revius. In other words, the point is it has to be after dilution you have to eat first. That's the thing. According to Rashi's understanding, the Gemara originally thought it means across the four kosis you need to have the equivalent of kosyapa. Now we're saying no, each individual one needs to be a kosyapa. The Rashbam actually has a bit of a different girsan, a bit of a different understanding, where he says that the Gemara is just the Gemara didn't change its mind. The Gemara is just clarifying to begin with. When we said kedemis zigas kosyapa, we didn't mean. We didn't even have a half on that it meant a small amount for each one. We understood to begin with that it meant a full revius for each one. So you start out with a quarter of revius of wine for each one, and then you dilute it and you go from there. By the way, we talk about the sheer revius as a cute thing. So we know famously there's two major opinions among the poskim what a sheer revius is, and sheerim of all the other units of length and volume and whatnot. You have a Rav Avram Chaim Noah and you have the Chazon Ish. So you have a Rav Avram Chaim Noah's shita makes a revius to be 86 cubic centimeters, which is around three ounces. If you convert cubic centimeters or milliliters, whatever, to ounces, you get just over three. In fact, Rabbi Elzeba and some of the Rabbanim over here say it's 2.9 on the basis that wine, after all, is thicker than water. Anyway, whatever it is, he points out, you have a remez in that, the word 86 is gematria kos. So then those who hold by the Chazon Ish counter, his shear of it is 150 milliliters, which is around 4.5 or 5 ounces. They counter, you take the gematria of kos ogun, which means a decent cut, and that's gematria 150. Here we have kos yafa. Okay, nobody says it's the gematria of kos yafa. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda oimet sorach shiyeheva tam umare. Rabbi Yehuda says it also, the wine has to have the taste of wine and the appearance of wine, which means particularly it should be red wine, it shouldn't be over diluted. Omar Rav, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? That it has to be dapped to the tam and mara of wine. Dichtiv, the passage says, Al tera yayin ki yis adam. Don't look at the wine when it's red. In context, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, as Shlomo is warning a person not to get into drunkenness. Don't think the wine is so red and good, so delicious, let me go and indulge myself in it. Realize that that drunkenness can lead a person to some very bad places. But anyway, the point is, he's saying the pasuk, don't look at the wine and admire it because it's red, implying that the best kind of wine is red, and therefore the definition of wine is that it should be a color that has that, should be something that has that color. Marshall also points out that we know that in general when you're able to see your food, it has much more of an effect on you than when you can't. That's why the Gemara says, for example, that in connection with the mon, one of the reasons the Jews were complaining about the mon is because according to one opinion, it didn't actually look like the food that it tasted like. And the Gemara mentions over there, a blind person never really feels completely satisfied. So the same thing over here. We're saying when the wine is red, then it has much more of an effect of making a person drunk. And therefore, Shlomo is particularly warning a person to not get caught up in that. Incidentally, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions, so that takta is the halacha. Preferably, you should use red wine. However, it mentions over there, I think it comes from the Taz, that in places where there were blood libels, and then therefore it became dangerous to use red wine, then go ahead and use white wine, because you don't have much of a choice. Okay. The Gemara continues, It talks about the dinim of a seba by the seder, and then it talks about the dinim of who has to drink the dalib kosis. So then, in connection with that, it mentions the concept of simcha and yom tovim. A person has to make his wife and his and the members of his household happy on the Yom Tov. The pasuk says you should be happy on your Yom Tov, and it continues after Uvincha Uvitecha, etc. So, how do you make them happy? By giving them wine to drink. Rabbi Yehuda says not so simple that you just give everybody wine. Men have to be given what's suitable for them, what will make them happy. Women have to be given what's suitable to them. So therefore men get wine because they enjoy drinking that and it brings them simcha. So what about for women? What's considered suitable for them? What brings them simcha? So Tony Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught a braisa. It depends where you are. The Bavel, the big date sivoyin. In Bavel, it's that you buy for them colorful clothes. That was the typical Yom Tov clothes of women in Bavel were colorful clothes, and therefore that'll bring them simcha. The Eretz Yisrael, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, you give them the bigger pishtan meguhotzin, you give them clothes of linen that are meguhotzin. There's various explanations among Rishonim what exactly it means, but it's some kind of bleaching or ironing or some, there's a few different opinions, but some kind of process that really makes them very white and very pristinely white and clean and smooth. Now, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, in particular in Moed Cotton, in Bavel, they didn't have the ability to do that kind of gihurz. The Gemara talks about over there because the water wasn't as clean over there as it is in Eretz Yisrael, and they had other reasons as well. So in Bavel, they couldn't do clay pishtan and meguhatzin, so they had to go for colorful clothes. In Eretz Yisrael, where they're able to do this gihurz, then that would be what they would do. They would have white, starched or ironed or whatever it is, clothes exactly that would look very nice on the women. So the Gemara continues. Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Bizman she Beis Hamikdash Kayam ain simcha el b'basar. When the Beis Hamikdash was standing, the only real simcha was by eating meat. And particularly, we mean the meat of korbanos. Shenema v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham. You should offer shlamim and eat them over there. The context is talking about it on how gruesome and how evil. But still, we understand from that shlamim are associated with simcha. V'samachta lifnei Hashem lekecha. And in fact, you have one of the, among the korbanos that a person brings on Yom Tov is shalmei simcha, shlamim, specifically for the purpose of having simcha from eating the meat. Now that the Beis Hamikdash is not standing, ain simcha l'b'yayin, then there's only real simcha is with wine. Shenem of yayin is samach l'vav enosh, as the pasuk says, wine gladdens a person's heart, and that brings us back to what we said where the Tanakh, where Rabbi Yehuda had, where the Tanakhama had said that you give them wine, and Rabbi Yehuda had said only the men. So the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah of Yufcha Saloy Ma'aba Kosis Chola. They should make sure that a person does not have less than 4 cups of wine, and that means even you have a poor person who is supported from tzedakah funds, the tzedakah fund administrators have to make sure that he's given at least enough wine for 4 kosis. Rashi on the Mishnah, by the way, brings why Dafka 4 kosis, and he brings the famous thing from the Medrash that's connected to Arva L'Shur D'Shur Ge'ula, the 4 expressions that the Eidrash says, Voitseis V'it Salt V'Ga'alt V'Lakam. Near the end of the parak, the Gemara talks about, you have the opinion of Reb Taufa, and you have a 5th cup, and you have different Gersois over there, where B'chlal, you can have a 5th one, and that's connected to Heveisi, and one thing, we symbolize that with the post Shul Eliyahu. But basically you have 4 cups, There's other points as well. And Marsha brings over here from a medrash that also you have a few other reasons as well. When the Sarah Mashkin's dream in Parshas Vayeshev, when Yosef interprets it, you see from the dream 4 times it mentions the word kois. So that's another remez to the 4 koises of Pesach. Another one is, Rav Huna says, because of the, you have the Dal Lashonis Shogula, you have Rabbi Shrovan Levi says, because there's 4 places where it talks about that Hashem is going to give the Goyim a cup of punishment to drink. In a number of places in Tanakh, it talks about the idea that the way Hashem is going to punish the goyim is in the osid lavay, for everything that they did to the Jewish people, is he's going to give them a cup of bitterness to drink. And again, like we said, a person drinks wine, they get drunk and fall apart mentally, that's what's going to happen to them. So therefore, connected that, we have the dalad, we have the dalad process. And connected that, we have four times where it talks about that Hashem will give us a kos of Yeshua. So therefore, that's another reason for the Dalit process. And in fact, the Medrash ties that all together. Yosef says to the Sanamashkim, your dream portends good things for the Jewish people. The three branches of the vine that he sees correspond to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and other details of the dream also correspond to the Gula of the Jewish people. So therefore, so in the Medrash, Yosef tells the Sanamashkim, therefore, I'm going to interpret your dream for good. Marsha brings this whole thing, and he explains, the vote is, after all, we know from the Gemara in Brachas, we don't not so long ago, that any dream, ultimately, how it's going to actually be fulfilled depends on how it was interpreted. So Yosef could have chosen to interpret it badly, just like he did with the Sarah Oifim's dream, but instead, because this one had good portents for the Jewish people, the three branches representing Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and the four kosis, and so on and so forth, therefore Yosef chose to interpret it for good, and Taka had happened for good for the guy. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Now we're going to get into the whole concept of zugos. So the Gemara is going to establish that eating or drinking or doing a number of other things in even numbers is dangerous. Based on the sugya, it comes out that there's two possible dangers from it. One is a person might be exposed to danger from shadim as a result of it, and the other is a person might be exposed to danger from kishuv. From people who do black magic against him. The idea seems to be that the danger from Shadim is more common, but the danger from Kishuf is rarer, but it's much more severe if it does happen. Why would Zugos make a person susceptible to such a thing? So there's an explanation. Rabbeinu B'chaya gives an explanation because there was a very popular notion in those days that there are two gods in the world. People couldn't understand how it is, how is it that there's good and evil in the world, and not just that, but all kinds of other dualities in the world. You see, for example, a person has two eyes, two hands, two feet, etc. So therefore, they came up with a notion that there's two gods that created things. In fact, in the Persian Empire of that time, which ruled over Babel as well, that was the state religion at the time, is a religion based on this idea of two gods. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, when a person acts in such a way and does things and choose, then he's showing that maybe he believes to a certain extent in that idea, and therefore that makes him susceptible to Pechas HaTumah, such as Kishuf and Shadim. Whereas if he does things in odd numbers, there he demonstrates the fact that he believes in one Eibishter who runs everything, therefore he's immune to those guys. The Shaloh HaKadosh brings this as well, and he expands on that and says that later on in the Sugya and the Gemara, it's going to mention a number of particular things that make a person most vulnerable to these dangers. It mentions eggs, it mentions cucumbers and several other things. And he says, because you also have, part of this is also, for example, you see so many eggs out there, and they all look practically identical. So that could lead a person to think that there are many, many different creators, each of whom created different things. And therefore, the same thing with vegetables, the same thing with fruits. You see a lot of nuts, you see a lot of fruits or whatever. They all look practically identical, and it takes effort to realize that it's one Eibishter who created them all. So therefore, that's why those things particularly make a person more susceptible to this kind of thing. So the Gemara asks, how could the Chachamim set up a concept of drinking Dalad Koisis on Pesach night where a person can then be exposed to danger because four is an even number? A person should not drink in pairs. Shouldn't eat in pairs, like to eat, for example, two fruits or whatever. Or drink two cups of wine. He shouldn't wipe after going to the bathroom an even number of times. And he shouldn't have relations with his wife twice. So all those things, because again, you have this idea of duality, and this apokosish idea that goes along with it. So why are the Chachamim making of all things four kosis, which is an even number? So Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Amakra Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem. So one answer is because the pasuk describes the night of Pesach as a night that Hashem guards, which means Laila Hamashumu Olam and Hamazikim. It's a night which is guarded from Mazikim. So on that night, a yid is immune to any of these Mazikim. Marsha points out that actually you have twice in the pasuk it says Shimurim. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, like the American time, Hu Alayla Azer LaHashem Shimurim B'chol Bnei Yisrael LaDoreisam. The first Shimurim is not actually meaning guarded. That means expecting. It's the night that Rashi explains on the pasuk that Hashem was looking forward to and expecting when it's going to be time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. The second one is what the Gemara is focusing on over here, that it's a night that's guarded from Mazikim. Iyun Yaakov points out there's a deeper reason behind that. Given that Pesach is, we say on Pesach night, Laila Kayoim Yoir. You have the expression in the pasuk, the night shines as bright as the day, and Pesach night is the night when we particularly have that. So therefore, so Mazikim are usually only able to do anything by night, so therefore on a night which is effectively day, then therefore they have no shlita. Anyway, so that's one answer, therefore, that night a yid is immune to Mazikim, and therefore there's no concern about an even number of cups. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Kois Shabracha Mitzaref LaToiva Ve'en Mitzaref LaRa. Of the Dalad Kosis, the third one is the one for Benshin. That one combines only for good and not for bad. Meaning, in other words, if a person had drunk two cups and now he's in danger of Mazikim, then the third cup of Benshin will take away that danger. But if he drinks three cups and the cup of Benshin is the fourth one, that won't put him in danger because we count that one as something separate of its own, basically. So therefore, that's another answer to the four kosis. Since they include a kos of Benshin, then you have no problem. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a different answer. Dalad Kasi Takinu Rabbanon, Derech Feirus. The Chachamim established that we should drink four kosis Derech Feirus, so we act like free people that night. The fact is, Kol Chad V'Chad, Mitzvah V'Afe Nafshehu, everyone is its own independent mitzvah, so therefore they don't combine together B'Chlal. Rava's point was that two of them would combine together, and then you need a third to counteract them. Ravina is saying, never mind that. Each one stands all by itself, so you never have the whole concept of Zugis in the first place. In fact, this is one of the sources that the post can bring. There's a famous Machlokas Rishonim. Do you, in fact, make a bracha individually on each of the four kosis or not? And Adariyam Azeh, I think you have a difference in Minhagim between Sfardim and Ashkenazim in that regard. Sfardim make a bracha only on the first cup and the third, because you make a bracha on the first one for Kiddush. You don't need another bracha on the second one. You haven't had any hefsim. The third one, again, you have to make a bracha because after benching, and now it's not covered by the brachas before benching. And the fourth one, again, you don't need to. But whereas Ashkenazim make a bracha separately on each one, and that's partly based on this thing over here that we're saying each one is a mitzvah of its own, and therefore it deserves its own bracha. Okay. The Gemara says, now, one of the things we listed that a person shouldn't do in pairs is lo yaseh tzroch of tzrei. Shouldn't have relations with his wife twice. The question is, why is that a problem? Amai, nimlachu. All that means he changed his mind. When he does that, it means he had relations, and then afterwards he realizes he still has a taiva, and then he wants to do it again. So that's not, when we talk about doing things in pairs is dangerous, we mean when a person is doing it, like all in one sitting, without any nimlach in between. So why should this be a problem? I'm gonna buy a hokkonga. So Abai says, right, what the Braisa means is like this. Lo yoichot trei v'yishta trei. A person should not eat in even numbers or drink in even numbers. The lo yaset tzrocha v'achil panachas. If he did eat or drink in an even number, then he should not have relations even the one time, d'machalish, because then he might become weak from it, because tashmish makes a person weak. And therefore mitra, and now he's more susceptible to harm from shaden because already he's weaker than normal anyway from the aftermath of the tashmish. So that's what the Braisa is saying. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan, shoyse kiflayim domed b'roshay. If a person drinks in pairs, then his blood is on his own head. Meaning, again, he's susceptible to danger from shaden, and if he does get harmed by shaden, then it's his own fault. Omer of Yehuda, Emesai b'zman shalei ro'a p'nei ashuk. However, Rav Yehuda says that would only apply only if you didn't see the street between one and the next. If you went outside between one cup and the next, then there's no problem. But ro'a p'nei ashuk, or shus b'yadei, then it's fine. Then he can drink the next cup and have no problem. In fact, there's a vort on that that says that that's another reason why we open the door Pesach night. That way, we also have this ro'a p'nei ashuk. So even if we don't even if we have a problem with any of the reasons why we said before, why the Dalit curses are not a problem, then this this reinforces it still more. Over to Amar Ravashi. So in fact, Ravashi says, "Chazina leiler of Chananya bar Bivi da akol kosa have enough of because the apeshuka." In fact, I thought of Chananya bar Bivi would do exactly that. Every time after he drank every individual cup, he would go out and look at the street, and that way he's sure to never have a problem with zugis. However, the Gemara says, "V'loyamaron elo lotzis l'derek." This whole problem of zugis is only if he's about to go on a trip afterwards. Abu Vesei lo, if he plans to stay home, then there's not a problem b'chlal. Reb Zera says, going to sleep, though, is considered for that purpose like going on a trip. So if a person drinks an even number and then he goes to sleep, then there's vaiter a problem and therefore he needs to be careful about that. And it's brought, by the way, the Mahariv, one of the famous late Rishonim from Germany. If he would take a nap during the day, he would say the psukim that are part of Krishna Shalamita, the psukim that we say and that are meant as protection from mazikim, like Yoshim to say so and whatever, he would say those for that reason, because the Gemara is saying over here that going to sleep puts a person at risk of shaving. Amar Papa, the lotzis l'besakisik, the lotzis l'derach dami. Going to the bathroom is also considered for this purpose, like going on the road, and therefore, again, if a person is going to drink an even number and then go to the bathroom, then also it puts him in harm's way of shading, and therefore he should make sure to avoid that and make sure that he has an odd number of cups, or that one of them is kosher bracha or whatever, like the various answers that we said before. So the Gemara asks, over Beisai Lois, you're telling me if he's staying home, there's no problem with Zogas? Well, Rava Mani Kshuri, we find that when Rava was drinking at home, he would count the beans. He needed to keep track of how many cups he had drunk to make sure he doesn't wind up with Zogas. So he'd keep track by counting, I drank one cup. Okay, that corresponds to that first beam of the ceiling. Second one, second beam, and so forth. And that way he could keep track of the numbers. Abaya, after he would drink one cup, his mother would bring him two cups in her two hands, so that way he can drink them both one after the other, and that way there's no time frame when he's in danger of zugas. This wasn't his mother, by the way. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that his mother passed away in childbirth. It was actually his foster mother. Similarly, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, when he would have drunk two cups, his shamash would right away hold a third cup for him to drink. And if Rav Nachman Yitzchok had drunk one cup, then his shamash would hold him two cups in his two hands. So we see, and they were all staying at home, and we still see they were careful about this. So the man says, Adam Choshev Shaini, an important person is different. Shadim are going to work over time to try to harm a prominent person, so therefore they have to take extra care. A regular person doesn't have to take that much care unless, like we said, he's going on a trip or going to the bathroom or what have you.
They say that by Talmid Chacham, they would sit, they felt like they were mamish squished together.
Yeah, the Gemara mentions in Brachas, they feel like they were squished together, and that's Shadim are among them, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in particular, I mean, we know that Kochas HaTumah are particularly attracted to Kochas of Kedush, because they want to be able to feed off them. So yeah, that also factors into it. Okay, Yomi Mashiach Ge'ula, more about Simchas Beis HaSheva. So the previous two installments were an excerpt from a sicha where the Rebbe was talking about how the Simchas Beis HaSheva we had at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and how we continue to do it even now, and in some ways it's even greater, and that Golos is the time of Kein Yubah V'Chein Yifrit, and we want to turn the sweet into a place that becomes a chassidish sweet. So now the Rebbe continues, and Maiso Iker is to increase in Simchas Beis HaSheva tonight with Yesa Seis V'Yesa Ois, and all Alderach, similar to the way when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, because all the Avoda, all the concepts of the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, we have them nowadays in Ruchnius, in a person's Avoda. And those bring closer the time when they'll be fulfilled, the Poyo Mamash. So it is with Simchas Beis HaSheva. And through the Simcha, with Zeicha, the part of Mamash, to have the Simcha, of the full Simchas Beis HaSheva, commits us to Seinecha and the Hanabais and the Beis HaMikdash, and then from the dancing and Simchas Beis HaSheva, we go to dance together with Mashiach Tikeinu, and with the dance that it talks about at the end of Kainos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a dance for the Tzaddikim, and everybody's going to point to him and say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh. Halacha real quick. Halacha continuing on Hilchos Shabbos. You have the concept of Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. Every week, a person needs to learn the Parashas HaShavua that's going to be read that Shabbos. any time from Sunday and on is considered imat tzibur, because after all, they started at Shabbos mincha. But the mitzvah, when I'm mocher, is to do it on erev Shabbos achar chatzos. That it ever brings that yesh noyegim that they do it erev Shabbos shachos achar etzvilah. In Hayom Yom, it mentions that the rebbeim would do one parsha of it Thursday night, and then they do all of it. They'd start all over again and do all of it on Friday, and then they do they do shvi again on Shabbos. So you have these various details of how exactly when it's to be done, but in principle. It could be done in time from Sunday. When it comes now, it's going to be Simchas Torah coming up soon. Then we do the one for Bezos HaBracha on Shmini Atzeres.
Once it's to be Shmini Atzeres and Shabbos Bereishis.
Shmini Atzeres can't come out on Shabbos Bereishis. But,
Simchas Torah, 1 year of Simchas Torah, and Shabbos Bereishis that came out.
It was right after it, right? Yeah.
Right, I heard 1 year, but it never. It was a very, very intense type of simcha. The Rebbe said, now, we have Mamnish a few minutes for my, it's time for,
Okay.